We have with us Senator Davis, Senator Olson, Senator Wilkins, and Senator Stevens. Thanks for everyone being here. Senator Huggins has another commitment and can't join us. Today we're going to be dealing with Senate Concurrent Resolution 16, which came out of the Education Funding Task Force, and I know there's some concerns about it, so my intention is that we take our time and feel comfortable with it. So we will, no intention to pass it out today. We'll consider it again in the future as well, but try to get it as perfect as we can. It has picked up the fiscal note, so it'll be going to finance as well. So with that, Tim, could you talk us through the CS, and maybe get a motion to bring the CS before us for discussion purposes?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt a committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution number 16/C.
Actually, is that M? It's M. It's M.
Is it M? Is it backslash M?
Right.
Do we have it?
Do you have that?
I do have it. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that motion. I move that we adopt committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution number 16/M as in Mike.
We have one out there.
Thank you. And that's for discussion purposes. Any objection to that? Okay. And thank you very much. Senator Tim, would you take us through that CS?
Sure. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. In an effort to provide a CS based on some of the comments from the last hearing related to providing some direction for the commission, before you is this version M for your consideration this morning. It has the following substantive changes. First of all, it provides that LBNA, Legislative Budget and Audit, may contract for professional services to help.
And where do we find that, Tim?
Okay. That would be on page 2, line 20.
Okay.
That LBNA may contract for professional services to help conduct the study, in addition to providing staff and so forth.
Right.
On lines 23 through 26, it provides for a preliminary report. On lines 30, 31,
it's so the preliminary report will be August 31st, 09.
Correct.
Okay, and then go ahead.
120-day public comment period.
Right.
And then you'll note that it changes the timeline a bit on the page 3, lines 1 through 4. It issues the final report and sunsets the commission just prior to the start of the second session of the 26th legislature, and that is to say January 12, 2010. Also backing up a bit, it on page 2, lines 27 to 29, it provides for a new district cost factor index.
27 to 29, mm-hmm. Okay.
And then up the page a bit, this is where we'll probably have the bulk of our conversation this morning. It asks on lines 15 through 17, it asks that the model consider actual and relative costs per classroom. So that the intent behind that was to just dig down real deep. I believe we have Mr. Eddie Jeans that'll speak to that as well.
Now where's the classroom line?
Lines 15 through 17 that include a review of all actual and relative costs associated with delivering education in kindergarten through grade 12 classrooms,
right,
in each public school in the state. So that was drafted just to point out that that at least initially we consider digging down really deep. That may not be necessary, and likely isn't, but it at least gets it on the table this morning to get it talked about. And then also it calls on lines 18 to 19, page 2, calls for the model to give some consideration to cultural, social, economic, and other geographical components that might be relevant to delivering education in the classrooms. On that note, if I might, because I expect I might receive some contumely over that one, just for simple sake of discussion, there's common reference to geographical differences when we're considering education costs. And the science of geography itself is, of course, very, very broad. It's not just the physical geography of school district being off the road system, over the mountains and by the sea and so forth, but also there's the human component, the human geography, cultural geography, socioeconomic geography, and so forth, that we just maybe consider the idea that a school system may be off, for lack of a better phrase, I struggle, maybe off, not only off the road system, but off, say, the Western system, a different way of thinking, a different way of learning, not not just the mundane components like salaries or housing or facilities, maintenance, travel, utilities, delivering books and materials and so forth, but also not what it costs to get the books to the classroom, but how the book's message is delivered in that classroom. And the results are less tangible or even intangible costs that may be worth considering in this cost model. It's interesting, this morning I came in early to the office and I happened to notice on Gavel to Gavel there was a program being aired by the Lower Yukon School District where some insightful ideas were being communicated, the principles of thankfulness and acceptance and people not being rejected if they're even if they're not handsome or prosperous and so forth, and elders teaching how to make a fish trap, logistics of throwing a seal party after the hunt, historical and economic value of traditional dog mushing. It made me wonder how many different ways there may be in Alaska where native languages, different ways to describe the word education or learning. I don't know. But these are not items that will be on the exit exam, but if I venture to say of significant value to cultures off the road system and geographical cost of some sort associated with delivering that education. And for what that's worth, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay. Thank you, Tim, very much. Any questions of Ms. Duncan at this time? I'd actually like to call the department to talk us through some of this, too, if you can.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
If I may, we have Ms. Pat Davison from Ledge Budget and Audit, who has another obligation at 8:30. If we could perhaps take up the legislative budget and audit component.
Okay.
That her schedule.
Sounds great. Thank you, Tim. Pat? Thank you for being with us here. You have to leave at what time?
8:30 is the budget and audit committee's meeting.
Okay.
For the record, Pat Davidson representing the Division of Legislative Audit.
Okay, do you have any comments on what we have before us here today?
Really, I'm here for questions. Tim and I had some conversations about referring to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. I'm sorry, in page 2 of the bill, line 20, where it talks about the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee at the request of the commission enter into a contract for professional services with the commission. The committee does have that authority. That phrase also provides necessary staff to the commission. Tim and I had a brief discussion about that. The Legislative Budget and Audit Committee itself has usually about two committee aides. However, it also directs the work of two of the divisions that report through it, one of them being the Budget and Audit Committee and the other one being the Legislative Finance. And so by referring to the Budget and Audit Committee and provide necessary staff, I think that would allow the committee, as it deems necessary, to pick out of either division the staff needed to assist the task force in this area. Both myself as legislative auditor and David Teal as the legislative fiscal analyst, when the air study was conducted, we're part of that evaluation committee. And so that is how we had been utilized before. So other than that, I'm just here for questions.
Well, thank you, Pat. Is this the way you would have expected this commission that the task force called for? And there's a lot of interest in establishing this education funding district cost factor commission. Is this the way you would expect it to have evolved under budget and audit, through budget and audit? Is that a sort of a standard way of doing things? Are there other options out there that you might think of?
Ms. Chairman, what I have typically seen in the structure of the legislature, things either fall under Ledge Council or budget and audit. The way that the budget and audit committee is structured, its membership is dominated pretty much by members on the finance committee, and it is tasked with the issues before the legislature for, and I apologize, I did bring the statutes with me, but I don't have them quite memorized, tasked with fiscal analysis, audit, and budgetary review. And so to the extent that the task force is at this stage or for this driving to statutes that are going to have a budgetary effect, then it would seem reasonable to me. And again, a prior error study was a special appropriation to the Budget and Audit Committee to carry out that that review.
Right.
Or to contract for that service. So I would say that that isn't at all unusual. You know, in terms of commissions and task force of the legislature, typically they don't get aligned with the Budget and Audit Committee. I've seen those more historically on legislative council's side. So the only thing I could say is maybe looking at the membership of those two committees, Ledge Council and Budget and Audit, and if and as you're considering this, you know, are there is the makeup of either one of those bodies more conducive to what you're trying to accomplish here?
Okay, thank you, Pat. Questions for the questions or comments of Pat? Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This body, as it's, or this commission, as it's starting to sort itself out, is a terribly political body, and we know because we've done this before, and some would suggest we failed. So Pat, talk a little bit about what we ought to be trying to do is remove the politics from this effort for this durable model. And Pat, talk about not the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, but talk about your budget function and how that might help, because it seems to me that the budget function, your audit division in your department, separate and apart from legislative budget audit, is perhaps where we should look to get help. That removes legislative budget audit out of this equation and allows you to march ahead independent of the legislature, independent of these 11 legislators. So would you explain to the committee about your audit division and if you would be capable of taking this on as a project?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin. The audit division, our workload comes from two main areas. Part of them are statutory driven responsibilities, things as such as auditing the state's financial statements, doing sunset reviews of various boards and commissions. Those are driven by statute. We also have audits that are requested through the Budget and Audit Committee. Just about every piece of work that we do is governed or done as an audit and done in accordance with professional auditing standards. However, there is in statute, at the request of the Budget and Audit Committee, we can be asked to prepare memorandums or conduct studies or so on and so forth. So I would say that there is provision in law that would allow us to take on that task. One of the things that I guess when the Budget and Audit Committee did the error study, I was very naive walking into that study in terms of what the goals were and how it was to be accomplished, and sort of trying to learn from that. As I look at the resolve, I think that probably the way, and I haven't been thinking about this a lot, so I apologize, this is sort of an off-the-top comment, is the more clear, the more unambiguous this resolution is at setting out the goals of the study, the more likely you are to get something that is acceptable. Let the issues that should belong to the legislature in the political arena, let them be dealt with there, because you can't go to a contractor or a statistician and get them to solve things that you don't have a consensus on. you know, as I was listening to the discussion, include considerations of social, cultural, and other geographic. You may understand what you mean by that, but what's going to happen is you're going to put out, as I understand how this process would work, you would put out a contract and ask a contractor to report back to you about that. If you're not clear on your goal, they can't give you what you're looking for. And so when we get audit requests, the things that are the most helpful to the audit division is give us clear objectives of what you want, definable. We can come up with the audit procedures necessary to reach a conclusion about those objectives. I mean, that's what our background is, that's what our expertise is. But you have to be clear in what your objective is. So whether it be the audit division that you want to do it, or the budget and audit committee, or even if you want to turn it over to legislative finance, I think you have to recognize whoever you give it to, the success is going to rely on the planning. And that planning, because it is a very political issue and has a lot of different considerations, I think the task force or the resolution or this commission need to be very clear in their objective. After they've done their work, whether it be the audit division or the committee, I think you'd have less issues to deal with there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Pat. You've really zeroed in on the important issues here and put the responsibility where it belongs, and you're absolutely right. I mean, if we just do what we've done before and make it unclear and vague, we're not going to get the answers we want. So you're absolutely right. The Senator Wilkin, any
thank comment? You, Pat, and I agree with you completely. It just seems like, and I have an amendment when we get to that process, but it just seems to me that you have in the audit division, you have the tools and the expertise to craft exactly what you said without the help of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. We need to keep them separate apart from this whole effort. It's just 10, 11 more people in association with these 11 people that are going to run their finger down the page and decide whether this is a good study or not. And I'm trying to get us away from that. So your audit division is the place I would think that this should be. And we'll talk about that more as we work through this. But thank you, Pat.
Certainly.
Any other questions of Pat? Appreciate you being with us. Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. Senator Wilkin, do you have any other comments? This came out of your mind.
My frustration.
and I take what you say very seriously about trying to keep the politics out of it. And any further thoughts on that you want to share with us? How do we do that? How can we get to a product that we can say is it's been honestly achieved without politics involved?
Well, we start by not allowing 11 legislators to dawdle in this, but if that's the way we want to go, then we just need to dress this up as best we can. And you know, the original concept, which isn't before us, was to have seven or eight technicians that are working on this model and not 11 legislators. We've been there, done that, and it's failed. So, but having without that idea on the table, then we'll march ahead with this. And I've got some comments on this I'd like to share with you when the time comes. But.
Okay. Chairman, on that point.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Olson.
Well, on that point, I think as you look at any kind of study in any situation that's here, you can't take the politics out of it, because that's what drives us. We just happen to be a different situation because we happen to be elected into the political arena. The most aggressive politics I've ever seen have been with the school districts and the schools that are out there, and some of the goings on that happen within the school itself as to what's on the curriculum, who's going to be on the basketball team. In fact, I just got a phone call recently from somebody that wanted me to step on in a situation where they didn't think their kid was playing enough on the basketball team. So when you start having that kind of overlay, I think it's naive to think you're going to be able to take politics out of it. I think it's a good step to go ahead and maybe do as Senator Wilkin say, to go ahead and say that take the legislators out of there. But I think if you look at reality, politics will play a deep and significant role in any kind of study that comes on out here. And I think what we need to do is try and curb that to the point where we can all work together so that it's, so that the report or this commission's report that comes out is something that's going to be useful for those students, especially out there that are probably not being given the chance to go ahead and survive in the classroom's arena.
That's a good point, Senator. So did you get involved in the basketball issue? And
No. My chief advisor said it's just too sticky.
It's like being asked to judge the beautiful baby contest.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, thank you.
If I might,
Senator,
I may be naive in lots of things, but I'm not naive in this issue. Just in our conversation in the last few minutes, we've focused in on the report. The report isn't what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do here is the model. And that's the focus. The politics will play in when the model is put together with due consideration of experts, technicians, statisticians, economists, that then produce a model. And that model is scrubbed up and vetted. And then the numbers come out. Then the politics come in, and the wherewithal to have the money available to hold harmless whatever, whoever is going to be losers in this, because there will be losers. So we've had legislators do it before, and we failed. We started in 1983, legislators did it. And people can say all they want about the McDowell study, but the McDowell study was a study that actually dealt with real, honest-to-God numbers. And at the time, it was the best data we had. And people didn't like it because it showed some of the warts in the work that was done in 1985. But indeed, it brought it home to the point where it was actual, honest-to-God numbers. Was it perfect? No, we all know that. They admitted it. But that's the kind of effort that we should see. We shouldn't see this 11 legislators sitting down to try to come together with some sort of district cost factors that benefits all, because it won't happen. The politics are involved when the results of the model come out, and that's what we should be focused on. I've got some other comments just on the bill itself.
Well, no, I'm trying to let that settle in, and I appreciate what you're saying. I guess in the end, politicians always want to be involved in it, and sure, and you can't avoid that. But what you're suggesting is that there be a way to come up with a model that is not going to be politically finagled, and something that everyone can believe in, realizing that politics will enter eventually. Should we go to, anyone mind bringing Eddie up here?
Before you do that,
you give me a minute to think about this, Eddie. I just want to get your response, just on a cerebral level. What?
Oh, jeez.
Are we taking the right approach here?
I need some clarification here and further information. Senator Wilkins, you said during the discussion, it was decided that you do not have seven outside members working on this, and we went to the model, to the what we have in front of us, the legislators doing it instead. What was the discussion around that? I missed out on that. Did you agree that that was totally unacceptable to have that and go straight to the legislature to do it? And what was the determining factor in there, and what was the seven people that would have been recommended, if not legislators?
If I might?
Yes, please, Senator.
Well, obviously, Senator Davis, you can't do both. So the concept back in July or August, whenever it was to put together a group that was a technical group, not a legislative group. And mm-hmm. they would go out and do one, or indeed it was suggested two studies, separate and independent, and then those would come together, and either one would be chosen over the other, or they would be melded together. But and that was part of the dissent in my response to the legislative task force. But the task force decided that there should be this organization here. So both things were laid on the table early on in the session, and the chairman has chosen to march ahead with what I consider to be this 11 legislators doing what we've already done before. So off the top of my head, it was someone from Anchorage School District. It was one legislator from each body. It was two people that had statistical background. It had one person that, and
sounds like
Sheila sees me.
Your mind has suddenly come back to you. Huh?
Yeah, she sees me struggling. God, I'm glad that wasn't on camera.
Not a problem.
So, Senator Davis. It was one member of the Association of School Business Officials, one member from the Anchorage School District, one from the governor, one from the Senate, one from the House, one member who was professionally trained in statistics, one CPA, and one member from the general public with some background in mathematics. So
those were the two things that were on the table. Well, you had that, and then we decided to go the other way.
We talked about that back in August, and the task force decided to march ahead with what I could call the legislative body. And then I dropped a bill in to do this. Others, I think Gary dropped a bill in to do what we have in front of us, and we're apparently marching on with the legislative part. So that, which I have great concern over, but I'm trying to do the best I can to dress this thing up.
You know, I appreciate what you're saying there, and I know that the task force worked very hard and came forward, but that's what it was. In the end, they still have to come back before the full body for us to do what we think is the right thing to do. What they say is not automatic that we have to do it. And I like that other model. I can't imagine us having 10 of us on that committee. And even though I know we're going to go out to get, I don't know if we're going to get one proposal or two or whatever, or whatever's going to come. But it seemed to me like that was a better way to go. And maybe we should have had more discussion of that before we say we're going to vote on this particular legislation, because we do have other options other than this.
Absolutely, Senator. And there's no intention of forcing this issue in a direction you don't approve. Okay. I think this is the perfect venue for us to discuss this and decide how we want to go forward, and I'm perfectly willing to accept whatever this committee says.
All right, glad to hear that.
Still, in all, at some point, even if we create this this commission outside of the political realm, it still has to come back to politics.
Yes, I understand that, and. There were two legislators in that model that he fought for, not
right.
11 or 10.
Right. And I've got to say, I don't really remember, Senator Wilkin, how this transpired and how the other body was involved in arriving at where we are now. So, I mean, just remember that we can do what we want here, but it's got to be something that both bodies can agree to. Mr. Jeans, could you just give us some thoughts here? I mean, you've been through these fights before. You've got the scars. You survived, and you can't make any more enemies at this table than you've already made. So, feel free to.
We love you, Eddie.
Chairman, thank you for those lead-in comments. For the record, my name's Eddie Jeans. I'm the director of school finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. Mr. Chairman, I have many battle wounds on my body from this particular issue over the years. First, I want to say that the study that was done by ERR and then updated by ICER was not done by a legislative panel. It was the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee with Senator Terrio, Representative Fate, David Teal, Pat Davidson, and myself. And we sat down in a room and decided what components needed to be measured and addressed through a cost differential study. And then we put out an RFP and got numerous proposals, and we selected the best one. The problem with the ERR study was they really didn't do any work to go back and validate the adjustments that they proposed in their study. And so when they submitted their report to the legislature, everybody was trying to understand what it was they did, and we asked for a peer review, and that's when ICER came into the picture. And ICER came in and they said, well, the model works, but there's some areas that we would make some adjustments in. And so, for example, in the area of energy, the air group developed a model. They didn't use actual cost. Now, when we were looking at that as a group, we thought, well, the model sounds like a good approach. Would tell us what should be, not what is. But then when you ran that model against actual costs, they were so far apart that ICER said, you know, you guys need to go back to actual costs because that thing is just way out of whack, that model. And then they looked at the personnel component and they suggested that there be a different approach on the personnel. And that's the one that's become very contentious. So, I mean, the legislature has done what I considered good work in the past in directing professionals to develop a model. We have a working model. The one thing that had already left, but I, you know, one thing we learned from that is even a working model, you don't get to just drop new data in and get it updated. Both the ERR group and the ICER group told us that on that personnel component, you actually have to go back and recalculate that whole component and then drop it into your model. So it's not a matter of going through some financial audits and picking out data and dropping it into a model and out spits a new number at the end of the day. Whatever working model we end up with will require additional contractual services when it's time to update that model, because the Department of Education doesn't have the expertise to dive into that personnel component. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't have the answer for it. We've been struggling with this for years, and as much as we'd like to take politics out, at the end of the day, it's always going to be politics. It's always going to run your finger down the chart and over to the right and see how it impacts my school district. Those that get a benefit are going to say it's a good model, and those that lose money are going to say it's flawed. And that's just the reality of it. In terms of the...
Could I follow? Just
certainly.
Just before we get off of that. Eddie, refresh my memory. When AIR gave us the study, it was $350,000. It ran into problems with some folks. And I want to go back to Pat's comments. We ask them to update the parts of the model we thought were inadequate? And either they asked for more money because it wasn't part of the original request, what Pat was just talking about. We didn't define what it was. And they wanted more money, and we said no. Legislative Budget Audit said no. We would just go over to ICER. Wasn't there a stop along the way there that we actually went back to AIR and asked them to update?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, I can't remember if we actually asked them to update, or I thought part of that they wanted more money was to come back to Juneau again and explain their model a second and third time, and the legislature said no. Yeah. But there may have been a component to an update that they wanted more money for.
But the point was, I just wanted to put a foot stomp on the point that Pat just talked about, and that is, if you don't define what you want it to look like, you're going to struggle later on, and we did that with AIR.
But through the chair, Senator Wilkin, you can only define this so much, you know. And when the AIR group came to us and said, "This is how we're going to calculate the energy component. We're going to create these models, and these are the components that are going to go into the model. You know, climate zones and age of facilities and all this information." That sounded good to us at the time, until we saw the results, and that they were just so far out of what districts were actually spending, out of whack, that we couldn't accept that model. I think you're going to run into that no matter what you do. You get over prescriptive, you're going to have the same problems. Mm-hmm. You're going to prescribe items that you don't want. So we put out an RFP, and we had, I think it was 5 different proposals come in. All good proposals, I thought. But there was one that stood out, and they had all these experts in the field, and, you know, they do it for the National Center for Educational Statistics. They've created differentials for school districts for the entire United States. Are those the differentials we ended up with or we want for our funding formula? Absolutely not. But, I mean, they had experience in it. So in calculating these differentials. So it made sense in going with them. This issue is going to be a hot issue no matter what you do.
Sure.
And so, you know, the Department of Education is here to support whatever proposal you put forward. We will make recommendations on people to bring in. I mean, I would assume, Mr. Chairman, that even under this proposal, that you wouldn't have 10 legislators sitting in a room deciding what the components are. I would assume that they're going to have professionals come in and tell them what components should be measured in this model. And then from that, develop an RFP. And then, once again, you have to rely on the experts that do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do this kind of work. So that's my thought on it. And, you know, we can do it through a panel of legislators, which to me makes sense because at least you can have that open dialogue up front about what the components are. You may not agree on how they're measured, but at least you know what the components are going into the calculations. And then I think at the end of the day, you're going to end up with something like what happened with AIR and then again with ICER. And
yeah, that's the problem. I think we're all hoping that in 2012 we can look back and say, well, we did it right, you know. But the danger is we may be in the same problem. Senator Davis, do you have any response to that? Since I know it's of interest to you on how we approach this task force. Senator Olson?
I don't have any comment at this time.
Okay.
I'd just like to hear more. I don't have the history that, since I'm new here to the legislature, that what went on and the different studies that were out there. And I'm with the chairman in that I want to make sure that the time spent here is not just another study that's going to be looked at to justify what expenditures happen to be when that pendulum swings this direction. And so I guess I'm looking to you for some type of objective input so that it, we do try and keep the level of politics to a minimum.
Well, I think we first have got advice. You know, we certainly heard from Pat saying that you need to be clear and unambiguous, and we've heard from you that that even then you can run into problems as well. You know, that you can be over-prescriptive, and that's true as well. Okay, any further comments on this issue? Senator Welkin, do you have any further thoughts?
For Eddie or on the committee substitute?
Well, for Eddie, unless you want to go into some other area. Eddie, you have any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that the new amendment on page 2, line 15 and 16 is probably unnecessary because when I read that, the first thing I think of is the school level adjustment. And to me, that's the matrix that's in the foundation formula for school size adjustment.
So you're talking about the classrooms issue. Is that the wording you're talking about, the classroom
for the
issue?
Classrooms of each public school.
Yeah.
Because each public school goes through the size adjustment table. That's intended to adjust for economies of scale.
Mm-hmm.
And what your cost differentials are intended to adjust for is the relative cost of doing business from your base, which is Anchorage.
Good point. Thank you.
One comment on it, Mr. Chairman. You know, looking at that line, the thing that caught my attention is how cumbersome this is going to be because you're going to look at, you know, some. I know that auditors and accountants are looking at small numbers to try and make everything, you know, equalize out in the end. But even looking at this, I see this is quite burdensome to be looking at the number of public schools throughout the state. Is that a wrong assessment of what this is going to do to the commission?
Through the chair, Senator Olson. Any study is going to have to look at all the schools in the state. We have a little over 500 schools in the state of Alaska. But this particular statement, to me, when I read it, the first thing I thought of was, this is talking about the school size adjustment table. And that's a rewrite to the formula. That's not adjusting cost factors. So that's the only reason I bring that up, mm-hmm. is unless you want to rewrite the entire formula, there's a lot more to it than just that.
But let's not go there right now. Thank you.
Senator Wilkin doesn't have enough time left.
Not before 9 o'clock.
Oh, what are you doing? A countdown calendar now?
No, 9 o'clock. No.
Okay. Thank you very much, Eddie. Appreciate your comments. Okay, Senator Wilkin, you said you had some other issues you wanted to
Lay some things on the table for discussion? At the prior meeting, I had asked that we reference, if page 1, line 11 and 12, that we reference the work that was done back in 1983 to 1985. And I would just once again say that that's really important history to show how the legislature struggled with district cost factors, and not struggled for just a little while, but struggled for a couple of years, and in frustration adopted a model that wasn't complete, and then legislators adjusted it. What happened isn't so important as to when it happened, because I think if you read this, it appears, well, things just started to go sideways in 1998, but really this has been an issue back into the early 80s, and I think that sets up some history so folks know how important this is to try to this time get it right. So I'd once again just ask that we refer to 1983 to 1985.
Just expand that period of time that clause.
And I've got the history that we published to back that up for folks that would like to read that. So I'd ask that be included.
Is there any objection to that? And we'll do that in another CS then.
Thank you. Next thing. I'm concerned about the timeline, and the way I read this, tell me if I'm wrong.
Can you tell us what?
Page 2, line 23, really down through page 3, line 2.
Okay.
But that whole thing kind of, here's the way I see the timeline working. So the group gets together, they get organized, and then they review and research data. And then they come out with, the group comes out with district cost factors and legislation. And that's referenced in line 24, page 2. Right. They'll submit a preliminary report, findings, and proposed legislation August 31. So then there's a four-month period for the running down the finger exercise, and it'll be 4 months of discussion about why those district cost factors are either really good or really bad. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to have a period of turbulence. And it seems to me that what we really want to do is to develop the model and come out with a report on the model itself. What does the black box look like? And then set it out for a month or 2 months for people to comment on the inputs and the outputs of the model. And then when that public comment is over, then go back and start the model up, and that produces the legislation that is then discussed in this building and done in a formal process. People will take their pot shots at the numbers, of course, but at least there will be a stopping point along the way where everybody said, well, it looks like they've considered everything. It looks like they did their work, their due diligence. And we've sort of checked off on the black box, knowing, of course, that politics will then enter into it when it hits this building. So it seems like to put out the factors and then 4 months of factors discussion, it'll just be 4 months of hell for Eddie and lots of us. And so I'd suggest that we just change the timeline around, and so that the model is a subject of public discussion. And then the district cost factors come out, and that then comes to the legislature under legislation. Did I explain that? I'd appreciate Eddie's thoughts.
You have. Any questions on comments on it, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have hard dates for this?
Let me ask you if you would give some thought to that and come back with an amendment that we can actually see in front of us and decide whether it's what we want to do or not.
Well, and could we ask Eddie what he thinks of sort of the sequence, or Does that make sense, Eddie, that we don't want 4 months of whining about the cost factors?
Mr. Chairman, the sequence that Senator Wilkin has laid out does make sense in terms of putting the model out there for discussion. I do have experience in this area, too. And unfortunately, the results tend to be the same in the end of the day. We went through an exercise at the department for a number of months with superintendents and business managers developing a model ourselves. And we did exactly what Senator Wilkin is proposing, where we talked about individual factors that should be weighed, how much weight should be assigned to each of those. And we didn't give the participants any results. We just, this is how the weighting would work. We didn't lay any school district names by them. And then finally, when we had the model agreed on, we ran the numbers, and you can imagine what happened then. So, but it's a step in the right direction. First, we got to get consensus on the model. We haven't been able to do that yet. But I think that's a step in the right direction. Mr. Chairman, also, I did not mention when I testified earlier that I think on page 2, line 18.
Page 2, line 18, okay.
The word cultural should probably be struck as well. I think it's important to consider socioeconomic and geographic components in the cost differential, but to put a cultural adjustment in there may be going a little overboard. I have not seen that kind of adjustment in geographic differentials in my experience.
Hard to quantify, and the thing of all the cultural, I mean, a lot of culture is in my community.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilkin.
Okay, thank you. On page 2, line, at the end of line 24 through line 26, there's a date, August 31st, 2009, and then there's an addition to that sentence which really concerns me, and it says, and may make any additional reports related to the cost of delivering publication in the state it considers advisable. So that, to me, just opens up this thing for this commission could report on anything that it happens to want to report on. And there could be all sorts of rabbit trails that people might want to walk down that have nothing to do with district cost factors under that second half of that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that we just strike the end of that sentence unless there's something there that I'm missing that makes that helps the commission come up with district cost factors.
I agree.
Let's give that a little thought. And come back at our next meeting, and would you be prepared to make that amendment? And so give us some thought before we do it right now. Is that all right?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
I guess, what was the thought on that, and why putting it in there? What kind of additional reports are we going to be looking at, or what additional information is going to be there that's going to make up these reports? I guess I'm looking to the sponsor to see.
Yeah,
what
I can't tell you where that. I can't tell you where that came from.
Okay.
I don't know that.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for that. Another item.
Are you getting ready to go to another page?
I think so. Well, we could stay on page 2.
I was wondering if we could discuss, I have some concerns about the further reserve on number 8, line 8.
Line,
as you
line 8 on, okay.
Yeah, all the way down there. If we pass this session, when would the appointments be made? Would they be made in 08 as soon as we are out of session or whatever before we go out of session? It will happen during this session. Is that not right?
Yeah, I think so. It terminates in 2010, January 2010, so we've got 2009 to work hard and the remainder of 2008. So it seems to me that
I have some concerns about first of all, taking this on at the end of the second part of the session. And then we appoint this team of folks, and then we have the elections, and then we have a lot of new people coming in. And it states in here how these people can be replaced or reappointed, and if you have a change of president of the Senate, the Speaker of the House or the President of the Senate, what you may do. I think that's going to be quite cumbersome, and I think we need to look at that and try to work that out. And maybe this is really not the right time to pass that, because we'd have a two-year session coming up next January. At least those people would be in those offices for that time. And most likely, whoever's going to be the heads of those of the Senate and the House will also be in those positions for those 2 years.
That's quite right. Well, would you give that some thought, Senator? And
well, I'm giving it thought, but I want you all to give it some thought, because I think that could cause us some problem. Let's at least look at that and see if we could.
Absolutely, yeah. Any comments on that specific issue about the timing? I think you brought up a good point, you know, because here we are sort of on the cusp here before we have a new legislature come in, new members, new maybe a new president, maybe a new House Speaker. And but on the other hand, we have a deadline that we're trying to reach as well, of January 12, 2010. Well, let's give that some thought.
That could always be adjusted too.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Davis. We will spend some time on that. Senator Wilkin.
Okay. I'm concerned, Mr. Chairman, that in this legislation there isn't anything that forces the legislature to make a decision. So the legislation gets submitted first day of the session, so there's 2 years to work on this, and or 1 year. And it could just roll, depending on who happens to be in the building and power. This thing could just roll, and there wouldn't be anything that says you need to make a decision. So I would suggest that there be a repeal of the district cost factors at a date certain. Now, then there's two things the legislature can do. It can, if it wants to, it can repeal the repealer, or it could use that as a deadline to march ahead, knowing that a decision has to be made to validate the work that the commission has put in. Because as we saw with the air study, it languished for 2 years before it really got picked up again and started to move. And then it, of course, got all sideways. But I think it's the bill ought to say district cost factors are repealed on X date. That puts that legislature on notice that they've got a year or 2 years to do something.
And let me get this straight now. You're not running again, and you're going to be home watching us with this gun to our head. And not that it's not a bad, not that it's not a good idea, but
the way this thing's going, I'm rethinking.
Sheila, give us a hand.
your years of misery are over. I want to be on the commission. I really do. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, thank you, Senator. I appreciate that. And that's a good point. That certainly would keep everyone's feet to the fire if they knew there was a deadline at which the district cost factors were repealed. Okay.
And then one last thing?
Yes.
As we talked about earlier, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee is involved in this through this commission, or through this legislation. And I had an amendment we don't need to deal with today, but I really think we ought to look at just assigning this to Leg Audit and just setting aside the politics of Legislative Budget and Audit as much as we can. Or the other is option may be the House version of this. It sits in House rules right now. If I could just read this. Their section that deals with this issue, it says, further resolve that the commission may enter into contracts for research services, consulting services, or expert advice to assist the commission in creating a valid and durable model. So maybe we don't want to drill right down to ledge audit, was where I think it should be. We leave it up to the commission. And if they think the Legislative Budget and Audit can provide the best services, so be it. If they think ledge audit has that arm's length benefit, then so be it. But I think we ought to change line, page 2, line 20 through 22, and either direct it to ledge audit or take the broader approach that the House has taken and just leave it up to the commission. So, and I think, Mr. Chairman, that's my, I appreciated Eddie suggesting removing cultural, and I don't know, if there's a definition for socioeconomic. There might be somewhere, but it would help, going back to Pat's statements, it would help to define what socioeconomic means. So, and with that, thank you for allowing me to throw those ideas on the table.
Thank you, sir. We're sort of facing the time crunch here with the finance meeting, but I really appreciate the discussion. It's really taken us forward, I think, and given us plenty to talk about. We will get a hold of the House version and check out that language, and there's nothing further.
One other thing, a whole different subject?
Sure.
I missed the Friday Moore decision, but do you know, is it your intent to produce a committee bill for the help that the department needs for Moore versus State? have you guys talked?
Senate Bill 295 we dropped in place. It's in committee right now.
Good. Okay, yeah. Thank you. That's great. Thanks.
Okay, and nothing further. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.